going to read something I found here. An anecdote. On a flight from Portland, Maine to Boston in the summer of 1987, the pilot heard an unusual noise near the rear of the aircraft. Henry Dempsey turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it fell open. Dempsey was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light on the control panel that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that Dempsey had fallen off the plane and requested that a helicopter be dispatched to search the area of the ocean. After the plane had landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding onto the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder and managed to hold on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 200 miles an hour and an altitude of 4,000 feet. What is more, as the plane made its approach and landed, Dempsey had kept his head from hitting the runway only 12 inches away. According to the news reports, it took several airport personnel more than a few minutes to pry the pilot's fingers from the ladder. As we see, we're going to be continuing to talk about endurance. We're not people who give up. We started on this subject a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And first we looked at the life of the Apostle Paul. Before we started teaching on endurance per se, we saw the life and we saw that he endured all kinds of hardships for the Lord's sake, and yet he stayed faithful to the Lord until the end. Then the next Sunday, we heard what Paul had to say about endurance and the things that he went through, and we asked the question, how can we endure like the Apostle Paul did? And then we looked at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 16. And it says there, verse 16, Paul writing, and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, the Apostle Paul, first of all, tells us that we're not supposed to lose heart. We got to stay with it. Yeah, things may get rough. The door in the airplane may fly open. You don't give up. You stay with it. Paul learned not to give up, not to lose heart, not to quit. And then we were talking about in this three verses of scripture, there are three principles. And the last time we stayed near me teaching you, we talked about the first principle. And that principle was, if you will endure, in order for you to endure, you need to value spiritual strength over physical strength. The first reason that Paul was able to endure anything that came to him in the physical realm was because he was more concerned about what happened in the spiritual. We talked about aging last time. Not a pleasant thought, especially for us who are getting there. Oh, I am getting there. You know, I discovered why we have 2 ears. We need hearing aid. We need a place to put the face mask, glasses, and even a microphone. Multitasking ears. But let's face it. Once we're born, it seems like our physical bodies, they just start going backwards. I mean, and the more we live, the more this process accelerates. We are aging, all of us, to one degree or another. We looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, and we saw interesting thoughts that Solomon wrote down that seemed to talk about aging. It was very interesting. You should listen to the message for the similitudes. As a Christian, what is going on the inside of each one of us is really what matters. I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, had the theory and the life premise that he would rather wear out than rust out. And I think we ought to adopt that same belief as a Christian. Paul was wearing out quickly. He suffered homelessness, sleeplessness, beatings, hunger, thirsty, the beatings, the whippings, the lashings, the wounds in his body, the crushing of his inner soul, the wearing out emotionally. He was a never-ending assault on Paul, as we read the story. And even Christians treated him very unkindly. But Paul knew that the growth and maturing of the inner man, the growing and maturing of the heart and soul, the new creation, the eternal part of us, the real self, was growing and developing even as his outer man was dying. And that's what mattered to Paul. And that's what makes him a great example of a man of endurance. You will endure when you value the inner man over the outer man. When you value spiritual strength over physical strength. It is the trials in your physical life that leads you to spiritual strength. Somehow, suffering is directly connected to spiritual growth because it forces us to take our eyes off the physical and we're left with the spiritual to be concerned about, and that's when we grow spiritually. We get strength spiritually. So that's how we live a life that is above our troubles, when we are more concerned about the spiritual than the physical. I didn't put this on the PowerPoint, but in 2 Corinthians 3:7, Paul said, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious," he was talking about the law, the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. He says, "If this ministry of death," why of death? Because the law only pointed to sin. In other words, he was pointing out what was the law, and when we read that, we knew what we failed. We failed following the law. All have sinned, the Bible says. So, he said, if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. Remember, his face shone, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. And then verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. This physical world will be done away. The only thing left will be spiritual. There's only two spots for the spiritual to live eternally, and I'd rather be in heaven. Excuse me. There's a second secret to endurance. As we go back to the original scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul is saying this, you will endure not only when you value the spiritual over the physical, but you will endure when you value the future over the present. All of Paul's troubles, rather than hurting him, they were helping him, making him spiritually strong. And they were gaining for him a greater weight of eternal glory. He puts affliction, suffering, pain, persecution on one side of the scale, as they used to do in weighing things. And then on the other side of the scale, he puts future glory, rewards, and the glory will always be heavier, right? From an earthly perspective, it was hard, severe, relentless. It was horrendous and overwhelming. But for Paul, he didn't have an earthly perspective. It was a trivial annoyance for him. That's all. It was nothing for Paul. Now you see in the scripture, it says, for our light affliction. And then he says, for a moment. It is but for a moment. Paul had all of this happening his whole life after being saved. It doesn't seem light to us. He was under pressure all the time, and yet he saw it as momentary. Just for a moment. Well, Paul, you had years of it. You're going through it now. You had been through it. And before your death, you certainly are going to have more of it. It never goes away for you, Paul. But Paul said, oh, but it's just for a momentary in comparison with the future. Because James said, life is a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes, right? So it's just a blip of the eternal in this screen of life. Not only is it momentary, but it says it's light. It's nothing. Well, it crushed your life, Paul. Yeah, but it's nothing. Really nothing. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul said, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He was looking ahead. He could endure all this stuff because he was looking ahead, not at the present time. 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." We'll go through hard times. And there is a relationship between suffering and glory. And that is exactly what Paul looked at. Suffering is real. We're not denying its reality. Suffering is hard. What we say is that it doesn't matter much. Well, at least Paul said that. It is real, but it's not that important. It's a trivial annoyance for just a little while. Have you ever taken a trip to the gym? You know, you have to be a masochist to go to a gym to do exercise. You really have to like pain. Unless you're not looking at that instant there. You're looking way past that into the future. And you see this perfect body, right? You're planning a trip to the dentist and you know it's going to hurt. But you're not considering that trip right then and there. You're considering how your smile will look later on and the pain gone and you look beautiful. And that gives you strength to go to the dentist and suffer whatever you have to suffer. Paul is saying, let's get this same perspective because this life is just blip and it's gone. Eternity is forever. And so, just for the glory that we're going to experience later on, just go through this the right way and man, you will be rewarded greatly.
Yes, amen.
Take the cross. The cross is the greatest illustration of how suffering is related to glory. The greatest suffering that ever occurred in the universe occurred in the cross by Jesus Christ, our Savior. The greatest. And the greatest glory that has ever been given was in response to that suffering. So the highest glory was reserved for the one who suffer the most. There's a story in one of the Gospels. Remember James and John, the two apostles? One day, their mother came up to Jesus and said, "I want to ask you something from you." Jesus said, "Say on." Said, "I want my children to sit one on your right side and one on your left when you're in glory." What a mama. Jesus responded, "Only if they can drink the cup of suffering that I am about to drink." So to the degree that you suffer for Christ, you will rejoice when you get to glory. Because you're going to see the reward of whatever suffering you went through. Like they say, no pain, no gain. What do I have here? Oh, yeah.
have one scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, sci-fi movies and all of that, they show glorious things in the future. Eyes have not seen. It had not even entered the mind of people, the things that God had prepared. I want to find out. I am a Trekkie. I am a sci-fi guy. And I love those kind of things. But I know God's going to blow my mind up with the things. You know, there's a whole universe that he created. And that's not just going to sit out there. We're going to have bodies that probably will travel all of that. I'm looking forward to all of that. Oh, by the way, there are no aliens. So we are unique creatures created by God. So back to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's get on the last principle here. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you will have strength to endure when you value eternal realities over temporal ones. When eternity and what is eternal is more important to you than time and what is temporal, then you'll have the strength to endure. Paul says, we endure, we persevere joyfully, we contend, we're hopeful, we're patient in the midst of all of our pain. And we endure because we value what is eternal over what is temporal. Listen, the only way you can put the spiritual over the physical and the future over the present is while you look at the things which are not seen with the natural eye. All the objects, possessions, all the ideas, the systems, the standards, the ambitions, the achievements, all the things that are part of this passing world order, they didn't matter a bit to the Apostle Paul. It didn't matter to him if he ever had a fortune, a bank account, a house, an estate. It didn't matter if he never started an organization, or if he ever belonged to one, if he never had a respected career, a place of prominence, fame, celebrity. It didn't matter if he didn't have any earthly accomplishment. It just didn't matter to him. Really, to the world at that time, Paul was a colossal failure. He had potential to be someone great. He was highly educated. He was a very ambitious person. And yet he turned out to be a great failure. Jails, hostility everywhere. Everyone was mad at Paul. Paul didn't look at things that are seen. They didn't interest him at all. What interested him, what consuming really, what he lived for, was the things that he couldn't see with his natural eyes. He was more concerned with the invisible world than the visible world. And he lived for God, worshiping and adoring and glorifying and honoring God every single minute of his life. He looked beyond the temporal to the eternal. That's how you endure. The secret is focusing on the inner man, not on the outer man. The secret is focusing on the spiritual and not on the physical. The secret is to look into the future, not the present. To take your eyes off present pain and look at future glory. And the secret is to be consumed with what is invisible and not what is visible. To give your life for what will never perish, not for what will perish. Place the unseen far above the seen. Place the future far above the present. And place the spiritual far above the physical. And when you do that, you'll be able to say with Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Oops, what happened? That's not where I wanted to be. There you go. You know how a pearl is created? You know, you women like pearls. I mean, you like necklaces out of them. In fact, you love it when your husbands give you one, or your friends or whoever. You like them. Have you considered how a pearl is created? Somehow a shell with a living organism inside gets a grain of sand, an annoyance, something that just grinds the wrong way. And I guess, you know, I guess the thing could have spit it out, but it doesn't. It takes it in. It surrounds it with its own body and starts secreting pearly substance around that grain, that aggravation. And it endures it until the point that a pearl is created. Something beautiful came out of a painful situation. We're all shells, and God has placed little annoyance for a little bit of time to create this pearl in you and me that will bring glory to God and exalt Him forever and ever and ever. Well, you can spit out that annoyance and be happy for a second. And then not get any rewards. Or you can just endure those annoyances that come because of Christ, not because you're foolish. Because we can suffer a lot for being foolish and dumb and crazy. But when you do it for the right purpose, then the right substance covers that annoyance, that pain, and a pearl is created in you. And that brings glory to God. So the message, again, is endure. It is brief. It is momentary. Stay focused on the physical, not on the spiritual, not on the physical. Stay focused on what God has promised for us, not what we're going through. Stay focused on what is eternal, not what is going to be wiped out pretty soon. And that will give you strength to endure. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have revealed these things to us, that we may fight the good fight until the end, that we can become pearls that bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, that after we have suffered for a bit, we will experience your glory. And Lord, not only will be transformed, but Father, we will enjoy your presence and your glory forever and ever and ever, with no more pain or tears and sadness, but all of it good. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness towards us. Help us to persevere that we could develop endurance to run the race like you intended for us. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. Bless your people. And I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we're going to be here.